We've known Tim Walz for less than a week, and we've already found out he let rioters burn down cities, lied about his military service, crushed small businesses, and turned Minnesota into a child sex change sanctuary. But that's not it. Tonight, we're dropping another Walz bombshell. As governor, Walz led a gang of politically connected Somali fraudsters steal $250 million of your money. It was the single biggest COVID scam in American history. During the pandemic, the government was giving out money left and right. A nonprofit in Minnesota, Feeding Our Future, got $250 million to send food to needy kids. Sounds good, right? Here's the problem. Almost none of it was used for food. The Somali scammers blew our cash on real estate, cars, extravagant get trips. We have wire transfers that show thousands going to car dealerships. $160,000 went to some company in China. And $500,000 was sent to Kenya to buy an apartment. A $500,000 apartment in Kenya is probably a palace. But our tax dollars weren't just used on goodies. The politicians got a taste, too. Ilhan Omar got thousands of dollars in donations from some of the scammers. These guys weren't criminal masterminds. It was sloppy. When they cooked the books, they made up names of their fake clients. They came up with these names. Are you ready? Unique Problem. Friday Donations. How'd nobody catch that? Well, early on, Walz administration thought it looked a little suspicious, so they froze the funds. Then the Somalis sued and called Walz racist, so he kept letting them steal. They didn't bother to crack into the bank accounts or issue subpoenas. Walz just put his hands in the air and said, "I'm not racist. Take whatever you want." Minnesota has a huge Somali population. You can't get called racist and expect to win another election there. Walz even gave one of the fraudsters the Minnesota Outstanding Refugee Award. 3 years later, she was indicted. No thanks to Walz, the feds came in after he ignored the problem for years. During the trial, the Somalis tracked down a juror and dropped off a Hallmark bag on their doorstep, filled with 120 Gs, and a little note saying, "There's more to come if she acquits." This all happened under Walz's nose. He had every chance to stop it and failed. Just like he failed to protect his city during the riots, and just like he failed his unit when he retired before deployment. This is the guy Kamala Harris chose as her number two. Donna Bergstrom ran against Walz for lieutenant governor in 2018. Donna, how did he win after all of this stuff is coming out about him? This, and this. How is this possible?
It is astonishing, isn't it? And thank you for having me here, Jesse. This is really a pleasure. I'm so happy that people are finally bringing this out about our governor. We've known about this for a long time. And one of the things that's truly astonishing about this is not just the numbers and the level of the fraud, but actually that he takes no responsibility for it. There hasn't been anybody that's been removed or put on administrative leave so that they can look into these issues. And this is just really the tip of the iceberg. There's Medicare fraud, there was daycare fraud, there was an autism support fraud, there was workers' compensation pay fraud. So, you know, his middle name must be fraud, because here we see it over and over again. And it's truly astonishing.
Under Tim's nose, these Somali identity pirates scammed $250 million. They caught them, and then he got called racist, so he backed off and then didn't fire anybody, never fired a single person for getting ripped off more than any other state in the country during COVID?
That's my understanding of it, and that's what I believe is his stance, is that he did nothing wrong, and that you'll see his pattern over and over. He'll point to somebody else and put the blame on somebody else. So it fits his pattern, and I saw it in 2018 as well. He just has this pattern of appeasing whoever he's talking to, whatever audience he's with. So we'd come up here to Northeast Minnesota. I'm in Duluth right now, but he'd come up to Northeast Minnesota with a mining T-shirt. and then go down to the metro area, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and he have an anti-mining t-shirt on. So it fits this pattern that he's going to just do or say whatever he has to do to keep himself in power, keep himself elected, not really take responsibility for good government at all.
Yeah, he wears a lot of costumes. We're figuring that out. Sonny, thank you so much.
Delivering this transmission of Sunday Night Live, it's Chase Geyser.
Welcome back to Sunday Night Live, ladies and gentlemen, where we are going to be taking your calls for the remainder of the show until 8 p.m. Central. My name is Chase Geyser. The lines are full, and we want to hop right into the calls. Let's go first with Joe in Arkansas. Congratulations, Joe. You were the first caller tonight. What's on your mind?
Hey, Chase. Hey, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm going to make it quick. Hey, I just want to tell your listeners, which most of them probably already know, they will not let Trump win. They will steal it, and there's no way that they will let him back in the White House. If we've already seen what happened, they've already tried to assassinate him.
Mm-hmm.
We can see what's went on with Scott Ritter this week. Anybody who speaks out, they're going after him on Schroeder, obviously, mm-hmm. and everybody else. But
So you think it's hopeless? You don't believe that too big to rig is reasonable?
No, I don't, honestly. I think they will burn it down.
Are you still going to vote and try?
Huh?
Are you still planning on voting and trying at least?
Well, I'm voting if we can get there, but I don't think we will see election day, to be honest with you. I think something's going to happen, and something's going to happen real soon. So I'm just telling all patriots that, I mean, we can keep hoping, which hope is good. I'm not saying don't hope and don't wish, but, I mean, sooner or later, we're being called now to stand up mm-hmm. because we can see what's going on in the UK. We can see what's going on all around us. If we don't do it sooner, we keep on waiting, it's going to be too late, and we're going to lose this country, and it's going to be all over with. So my opinion is, I mean, what are we waiting for? So that's my opinion, but hey.
Well, Joe, thank you for your call. I do share your concern. I'm a little bit more optimistic than you, but I don't think that what you're saying is unreasonable. You could very well be right. I am just holding on to the hope that it's possible for us to get out of this with this election. This is definitely our last chance, regardless of whether it's possible or not. I don't think if we lose in 2024, it's going to be too late by 2028. And we're going to see some crazy turmoil, some crazy death, bloodshed, economic crisis, war after war over the next 4 years unfold under leftist leadership that is going to radicalize our people. It's going to make a lot of suffering and just injustice manifest in our country. So I'm voting. I'm hopeful. I'm optimistic. If Trump believes that he can win, that too big to rig is a reasonable strategy, then I'm going to double down on that. And I'm all behind him. I'm going to do everything I can. Everybody should do everything they can, because I don't want to look back and think that, wow, if only I had somehow done more, maybe we would have won. And so I think we just need to double down and go all in and fight as hard as we can. And the more that we win by, the more obvious it will be if they steal it. So if we win by an absolute landslide, that just makes it just abundantly obvious and clear to the general population that it was stolen, if they steal it, then that's going to position us to be on the right side of history in whatever comes next to save humanity. Joe, thank you so much for your call. Let's go to Andrew in New Jersey. Andrew, what is on your mind, sir?
First, wanted to plug the trifecta: turmeric, Nitro Boost, and fish oil.
Yeah.
All great for circulation and can help with clotting from the clot shot if you had to take the shot. And Owen was right with turmeric. That's one that you feel the difference, because I haven't had turmeric in about 3 weeks. I'm going to order tonight. But I feel stiff, my legs and my knees,
yep.
and I can't run as well. Then it takes about 2 weeks or 10 days, and then I get the mobility back and the flow. So it's a must-have, turmeric, and it's better in the pill form because my wife's from Thailand, so that's something that they use. But if you eat it raw, like, it messes up everything, gets orange.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can't cook it because it ruins everything. So the turmeric's essential. And I just want to say quick with RFK,
yeah,
it's very offensive to me that he wants to represent workers when he's actually never worked a job in his life, a physical job, and he only worked a little as a lawyer when he chose to. And my father, he was a mason. He did construction. He was voted. He was a union president for one term, vice president for a second term. He won in a massive landslide election where the demographics were against him. He was Caucasian, and probably 80% of the voters were African-American, and he was running against the African-American incumbent. But he swept 3-1 victory with no experience because the people knew him, and it was a small local union, and they knew he was a hard worker, and he was smart and energetic, and he represented the workers. He was one of the workers. I was covering a local news story. It was about the maids, you know, or housekeepers or maids, and the guy, the union president, I didn't like it. He's like, because we pick garbage doesn't mean they should treat us like our...
Right.
And I was thinking, well, you don't pick garbage. Like, you're wearing a suit and tie. When did you ever pick garbage? So that reminds me of the elitism and the whole thing with the carcass that he dumped in the Central Park.
Yeah.
The fact that he would have falcons, it's the Dukakis tank. If you could look up Mike Dukakis tank moment when he looks so awkward. Like, if you have, that's such an elitist thing, and a normal person wouldn't even think of
He's definitely a member of the United States' America's version of royalty. That's like the Kennedy family. The Bush family has kind of gotten itself into that place. The Clinton family, they've created these dynasties, these legacies. And I agree with you. I mean, he's a member of an elite class, and I'm very concerned about him. And the thing is, he's not going to win. So continuing to run in the way that he runs only serves to undermine the ability for Donald Trump to win. So he is selecting for us. He is making an effort to veto Trump, leaving only this appointed alternative of Kamala for the American people. It's just bad news all around. Andrew, thank you for your call. I appreciate your perspective on that, and I agree with you. Len in Indiana. Len, what is on your mind, sir?
Well, I heard Jay Dyer's Friday report.
Yeah.
And it was really good. And I think it applies to appealing authority, because he was listing off all these groups, organizations, and international, and they all following the same consensus of writers, and that this plan to let the Muslims in was many, many years ago, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And but he said one thing that was interesting, that they feared a rise of authentic Christianity.
Yes.
And I got a friend that received the Holy Spirit. He's in his 70s, about a year ago. And he says, I'm on the mountaintop, and they got to pull this mountaintop down to get me off of it. I thought, wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, we are standing on the shoulders of giants as Christians. If you look at the disciples or the Messiah himself, it's absolutely true. And, you know, it reminds me of that Bible verse where Jesus said, with faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. And I know a lot of people have criticized Jordan Peterson, but one of the brilliant things that he said, he was asked in an interview if he could have any superpower, what superpower it would be. It was either a Q&A or an interview. And he said, faith. And I thought that was an incredibly wise answer, because when people think of Jesus saying, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains, they think that what he's saying directly is, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can literally walk on water, or you can literally perform miracles of healing people upon the touch, miracles akin to those the disciples performed and he performed himself. But I think he's saying more than that. I think he's saying that with faith the size of a mustard seed, you can accomplish anything. So, for example, I started my podcast with very few followers just about 3 years ago, and I eked my way up into more followers and bigger guests, and eventually I got to a place where I work here at InfoWars for the most influential, impactful network on earth for freedom of speech and freedom worldwide. I mean, this is like a dream come true. There's so many people that would love to be in the position that I'm in. And when I started my podcast, I had no idea where it was going to lead. I had no reason to believe that it was going to lead to anything. It could have just totally been a hobby kind of waste of time thing. But my faith was the size of a mustard seed, and I was able to move a mountain and get to a place where I was actually having an impact. And so, yes, it's important that we double down on our faith, that we think more about growing and cultivating our faith and accomplishing the things that we envision for the future, not only of ourselves, but of the world, because with faith the size of a mustard seed and the activities and actions that follow it, we can move the mountain that is globalism. We can strike it down and undermine the political agenda of those who seek to subjugate humanity. Len, I always love your calls. Thank you again for calling tonight. Steve in Hawaii. Steve, what is on your mind?
Hey, Chase, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you, sir?
Good. I'm in the store. There might be a little bit of noise.
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't I go on to another caller, but you stay on the line, and when you get in a quiet place, I'll come back to you. Let's go to Alex in Nevada. Alex, what's on your mind?
Hey, Chase.
Hey, man.
I think you should have a pay raise here soon. You're on fire these past months.
Thank you.
I love listening to you. So look, rise and fall of nations and empires. You know, I think most of the listeners are probably well aware of how that happens. It's mostly, I can't think of too many nations and too many empires who have not risen to power or been established or have been in demise and put down without bloodshed.
Yep.
And so, you know, where we're faced with right now, just to make this short, I could probably rant for 20 minutes, but to make this short, as a nation and as an empire, because since the Second World War, the United States of America has basically spread its wings across the entire world, and it's become an empire, the demise of the British Empire. But what we're facing right now, and I think everybody ought to take a big, deep breath and realize that we're on the edge of such a bloodshed that we could be like the demise of all those who have been before us, nations and empires. Demise, death, bloodshed. I don't know how many of us have come out of something of that level, you know, because, you know, Germany's still there and mm-hmm. others like that. So, you know,
they had to lose tens of millions of people. I mean, tens of millions of Germans died in World War II because of fascism. So, I mean, yes, Germany still exists, but it exists in a form currently established only after millions died.
Right.
Wow.
Well, we've been going at. Let's just look at a quick look at our history here. Since the 1600s, we became developing into a nation, and what did we do? We came in and we to the demise of the Indian tribes, who once was a great nation upon this entire continent. They were demised themselves into little tribes.
Yeah.
Well, there were tens of millions of them when we got here, from the British and whomever else came here to invade this land. It was an invasion, in a sense, you know.
For sure.
And so they got down. When Geronimo was put in the ground, there was 800,000 American Indians. And you include all the tribes together. There was about approximately 800,000, according to record. That was all that's left, out of
wow.
tens of millions. And
wow.
And those tens of millions were scattered from a nation that was even grander than that, more than just tens of millions. And so what we're facing is the same thing as every single nation and empire in the past, is that demise, and it always comes via bloodshed. It always has. I can't think of maybe but one instance or two on both ends of that weren't that way.
Yeah, I'm concerned about it too. I can't think of an example in history where a government as powerful as ours, or even remotely close to a power as strong as our government, has reached this level of corruption, and the people have successfully reversed that corruption peacefully. I can't think of it either. I'm really concerned about it, Alex. Great call. Great point. Jerry in Indiana. Jerry, what's on your mind?
Hey, Chase, it's Jerry.
Hey, man.
Hey, first of all, can I tell you the name of my Rumble channel?
Yeah, go ahead.
That'd be okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's JPJINCO. That's where I download a lot of your info works at.
Great.
I advise everybody who supports Trump, go out there and make videos, okay? Help support you more.
Yep.
Regardless how many views you get.
Yep.
And my channel is growing, but you know, I get more views. But I think my advice to Chase and Alex Jones is, I know the election is very, very important. This is about the biggest election in American history.
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion. But what's going on in Russia, in Ukraine, is unbelievable right now.
Uh-huh.
Things are heating up in Belarus, too. And I want to tell you this story. A friend of mine, She's a Russian descendant, okay? She immigrated from Russia years ago. She flew home recently to visit her family in Russia. She cannot fly from Russia to Poland with an American passport. That's how bad it's getting over there.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yes. Yes. They had to divert her flight to Belarus, of all places.
Wow. That's absolutely crazy. Yeah, we are right on the cusp of World War III. And this Ukraine thing is totally unnecessary. It's totally overblown. We wasted so many resources for an inevitable failure. It's unbelievable to me, the hundreds of thousands at least of people, civilians, many, who have died or been displaced as a result of this war. And we want to blame Russia. And yes, it's true that Russia invaded Ukraine, but Russia was provoked to invade Ukraine, and nothing Russia has done. I would put to you, the audience, that Russia was actually more provoked to invade Ukraine than we, the United States, were provoked to invade Iraq, right? And so we criticize Russia for what it's doing, and war is terrible, and Russia is worthy of criticism on many levels, but it's so hypocritical because we do the same crap over and over again, and we act like we're doing it from some moral superiority or moral high ground when it's always for a corrupt political end. And then when we provoke another nation to do the same thing that we've been doing for decades, we act like it's because they're evil or tyrannical, and we're the ones that have declared ourselves the police of the world when the world has not elected our military, our armed forces, our military-industrial complex to come in and just totally unseat and overthrow their governments, whether it's Gaddafi, whether it's Saddam, whether it's others, like the leadership in Ukraine itself 10 years ago. This is really terrible what's going on, and it only serves to escalate. This violence begets violence. These violent times have violent ends. Jerry from Indiana, thank you so much for your call. Dennis in Florida. Dennis, what is on your mind?
Well, Chase, we have to save this election. We know they're going to steal this. As much as we want to believe in the process, we're going to vote anyway, but they're going to steal it. So the only way to save this now is we got to unite the world, as I've said before, in Christ, love, and reason, with the plans that they're expecting for 10 Americas based on our original U.S. Constitution. And we're going to overwhelm the elite that way. The security is going to turn them over because everyone's waiting for this. And that's how we're going to save the election. And after we save that election, we have a convention of states to reset the election back to the pre-1913 level with original updates, expand from Panama to Alaska, including Japan and the Caribbean. That's the templates for make the remaining nine. We'll have a new currency, one world dollar, that's going to be gold, silver, platinum, palladium, and nickel mixture that's melted to a certain consistency. We can make a tuning fork. We'll have a certain residence worth $1,000. And $1 will be worth a local.
Well, Dennis, thank you so much for your call. And I appreciate you bringing up the plan for 10 Americas. And a lot of what you're talking about with a real backed currency, a new currency, and establishing this new form of a just government makes sense to me. It's just the question is, how can we accomplish this? And I think, you know, it's important that we focus on what we can do in the next 3 months rather than what we could do in the next three centuries. And that's why I'm just so focused on undermining the Kamala Harris and Tim Walz campaign any step of the way. And speaking of which, we have Shad in South Dakota, who apparently spent 1995 in China with Tim Walz. Shad, what is on your mind? Tell us about your experience.
Yeah, Chase, I we're focused so much on this stolen valor thing.
Yeah.
My opinion is that they intentionally, Tim Walz is a very bright guy.
Uh-huh.
And I know, you know, people get uncomfortable when we start praising the talents.
Well, to call him bright is not to praise him. It's just, you know, it's just to refuse to underestimate him.
In the age of binary thinking, some people bristle when you even mention stuff like that. But people need to understand, he's not so stupid as to have made all these comments and have claimed to have been in combat for no reason. And to have it so obviously provably false. And I would submit to the audience that was intentional, so that people would be distracted by the stolen valor, thinking that that's going to wound him enough to get him off the ticket. He's the intellectual heft on this ticket, and beyond that, his 30-plus trips to China. I can tell you, having spent a summer semester in China with the man, he is an open devotee of Mao Zedong.
What was the name of the organization that he went over there? It was something world.
Harvard Institute for International Development is the one that sponsored his original trip in 1989. He was there at the original Tiananmen Square uprising. And
he's Harvard a Maoist. He's a full-on Maoist. Like, you know, great leap forward. Go ahead.
Completely out of the mold of John Brennan and contemporaneous to John Brennan. There was this infusion of intellectual talent into the CIA at exactly the same time as Tim Walz and John Brennan. And these people came out of the Ivy League and populated our intelligence community with exactly the things that we saw and have seen out of the deep state working against an American first agenda. They're completely compromised by Beijing, and they're acolytes of Maoist thinking. I'll tell you a story. We were standing in Tiananmen Square in 1995, and across the courtyard, you don't get a sense of the scale of Tiananmen Square just by looking at pictures. It's massive. And on one side of Tiananmen Square, there was a yellow digital display, and it was counting down in July of 1995. It was counting down to July 1st, 1997. And that was for the reabsorption of the Hong Kong prefecture, the British colony, the ending of the 99-year lease that was going to allow Hong Kong to be brought back into the fold in their One China policy. And that left, of course, only Taiwan as the outlier. Mm-hmm. In restoring the boundaries of the Chinese Empire. And we're standing there, and this little People's Liberation Army girl comes up, and she's selling postcards, and she's trying to sell us beauty shots of Tiananmen and all this thing. And I had finally I'm reflecting on the carnage of the original Tiananmen uprising and the death. It's a very somber place, and to an American patriot who prizes freedom, being in that place and thinking back about everybody who lost their lives trying to stand up for their rights. By the way, I would submit that's a CIA operation that they helped the CCP round up and gut the internals of the anti-communist freedom movement in China, and they did it in Tiananmen Square. Scooped up 50,000 people, not just killed them, but then rounded up all the leadership over the ensuing months and put them in prison. But anyway, this PLA soldier comes up to me, and she's trying to sell postcards, beauty shots of Tiananmen Square. And I said to her...
It's like a beauty shot of Auschwitz or Dachau or something. It's just a place where incredible travesty has occurred.
Perfectly analogous. And I said to her, do you have any of Tank Man? And Tim's head whipped like it was on a swivel, and he didn't talk to me for 2 days. And he gave me a lecture about... You can't be causing an international incident in this country. You know, it's so easy they could just disappear you. And by the way, your American passport is worth $20,000.
Wow. So Tim Walz was upset with you for mentioning the famous Tank Man in Tiananmen Square.
And I was tired of her coming up and trying to sell us postcards and beauty shots of a place that stands as one of the world massacre sites of human freedom and liberty.
Right.
That's Tim Walz. And he's absolutely pro-Beijing. And who would have thought that after the presidency of Joe Biden, we could end up with somebody in the White House? He's the true power behind the ticket. And he's going to be the guy who's running this. Think of the slogans that are coming out.
Well, he's even said on camera that he's friendly to China. He said that explicitly.
Yes. And think about, you have Kamala saying, we're not going back. We're not going back is just the great leap forward written by a DEI hire.
Mm. Wow.
And what's the other slogan? Oh, now if you look on Twitter, it's been trending, Kamala brings joy. They're talking about a joyful campaign. Well, one of the main slogans of the Mao regime was that Mao's words bring us joy.
Wow, Chad, we're coming up on a break here in 22 seconds. Do you have? Can you stick with us through the break and come back on the other side? Because I want to talk to you more about this.
Be happy to.
Okay, thank you, Chad. Stick with us, folks. We're coming up on a 4-minute break. Then Chad is going to join us again on the other side. He spent 1995 in China with Tim Walz. Visit InfoWarsStore.com in another tab and be the reason we are still on the air. More on the other side.
An InfoWars fan favorite is now back in stock after over a year of not being available. It is the vitamin C and zinc with rose hips. Now, this is a copy of Linus Pauling, who won the Nobel Prize for his findings on vitamin C's formula. It is 1,000 milligrams of organic vitamin C with zinc to take it into the cells and rose hips. He believed that supercharged it. This formula is amazing. We've not had it for over 12 months. Now it's available back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. It is simply incredible. What it does for your whole body, your immune system, is next level. So whether you're in super good health or not in good health, everybody benefits from this formula. It's back in stock, discounted at InfoWarsStore.com. Vitamin C and zinc. with rose hips at InfoWarsStore.com. And it funds the operation. So that's a win-win. Get your vitamin C with zinc, the Linus Pauling formula, at InfoWarsStore.com.
I would rather be oppressed by the Nazis.
Thank you. Hi, everybody.
I would rather just have some Soviet commissar with his boot on my neck and just saying, do what I say or die. And it's just like, ooh, okay, I get this. This is straightforward. Yes, sir. Please don't kill me. I prefer that over whatever this is.
Push for systemic change.
I would choose straightforward, manly oppression over this preschool baby talk.
As white people, we have a lot to learn and unlearn.
Just say you'll kill me. Just do it. Whatever this pathetic vocal fry cat lady librarian bullcrap is, I don't like it.
It's for the greater good.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next.
So they always tell you it's the most important election of your lifetime, but of course, this one actually is. That's demonstrable. And it's also, because it is so important, being censored at every level by the tech companies. So we were thinking about this a couple of months ago, and we thought, why not get on the road live in front of actual people, live audiences, coast to coast, a nationwide tour where we can't be censored? That'd be good. It would also be fun. So we're doing it. We're going to be on stage with some of our friends, some of the most fascinating people we know, the most recognizable people we know, responding to what is happening in America this September in real time. It'll be just like the podcast, but it's going to be live. So we're excited to announce that our friend Larry Elder is coming to join us in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Our friend John Rich will be there with us in Sunrise, Florida. We're adding more stops. We just added another stadium show in Reading, Pennsylvania. We'll be joined on stage by Alex Jones. They tell you what Alex Jones is like. Have you seen him in person? You should. Make up your own mind. It's going to be fun as hell and interesting and intense, and we hope you will join us. Go to TuckerCarlson.com right now to get your tickets. See you there.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. InfoWars.com/show.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
America has been captured. We have an occupied government. Any loyal American who does not want to be a complete slave of a biomedical extermination operation needs to get informed quick, get right with God, and then start telling everybody you know about it and not complying with the system. The system is here to destroy us. Complying with it will get you killed. Period.
We told you what was going to happen, and it did. Now we're telling you what's coming. At Real Alex Jones on X.
Tonight, Sunday Night Live unveils the hidden truths behind today's headlines with your host, Chase Geiser.
Welcome back to Sunday Night Live, ladies and gentlemen, where we are taking your calls for the next 24 minutes and 12 seconds. We have a fascinating caller, Shad from South Dakota, did spend 1995 in China with Tim Walz. Says that Tim Walz is not to be underestimated, despite the fact that he is a Maoist. He is someone who is capable, competent, and intelligent. So as an opponent in this political campaign, he should not be underestimated. And maybe even this stolen valor argument against Tim Walz is a major distraction, and we should be concerned for so many more reasons. Shad, can you just give the audience and myself, please, a little bit of context about the program that you went over to China on and the nature of it and how you came to meet and know Tim Walz?
There, through this Harvard University Institute for International Development, what they do is they put advertisements in newspapers, and what they offer is an essay contest involving China and trips to China, and you know, people who like to partake in that kind of thing are naturally drawn to it, and they use it to kind of sift out and find people who are intelligent and have an interest in foreign affairs, and the essay question normally deals with intercultural relations between the United States and China.
Okay.
And so this is the way that I kind of found my way into this trip. And if you look, yeah, I'm going to give you guys some background. The Frank Church Committee identified the Harvard University Institute for International Development, HID, and USAID joined at the hip. This goes back to Ev Lieberman. Evelyn Lieberman was in the State Department. She established the Education and Cultural Outreach Wing of the State Department. It was brand new. And she later, as some might know and remember, Ev Lieberman became the Deputy Chief of Staff in the Clinton White House after she was done at the State Department. But this is all contemporaneous to Tim Walz and his involvement with these Chinese trips. He led over 30 of them through the years. And again, he's a Maoist. He's a Maoist to the core. And I want to acquaint the audience with a sort of a transition and a history lesson about the concept that we deal with. You're dealing with Biden. Think about, and as I said, to think that we would have somebody even more pro-communist China than Joe Biden and the Hunter Biden connection and everything that we know about that pay-for-play scheme.
Sure.
We're in a transition. This is a transition between people who are bought and paid for or who are compromised through bad character and bad morals. We're in a transition between bribery and compromat being used to select these people and control them into the generation
right.
of the truth.
So while the Bidens were willing to sell out American interests to the CCP because of bribery and personal gain, we're now entering into a territory where we're actually faced with electing people who believe in the idealism behind the CCP. Is that what you're trying to say?
Positively correct.
Okay.
So now we're into the generation that these are the true believers. These are the Maoists to their very core, and that's why you're seeing the sloganeering that's coming out of the campaign. As I said before, we're not going back. That's China's great leap forward. Oh, by the way,
right.
Sharp death, 60 million people.
Yes.
And the other slogan, Kamala brings joy. Well, there were posters that were hanging all over China in 1961 that literally say in Mandarin Chinese, Mao's words bring us joy. These are not accidents, and the symbology.
So
and
he has learned from the cult of personality behind Mao, and he's attempting to apply that cult of personality to the tactics of the Harris-Walz campaign in order to coerce the masses into inadvertently electing a Maoist.
I think it's that, and I think they're also just rubbing it in our face. There's no loss for the amusement that they get of being able to pull the wool over the sleepy and I'm very sorry, but ignorant American population.
Sure, no, I agree with you. Yeah, it's we have to admit the extent to which we are failing as a people in order to solve this problem. First step to curing ignorance is admitting ignorance.
Tell you another quick story. We were in Xi'an, China. That's the city of China. It was one of the dozens of capitals that mainland China's had over the millennia. And in Xi'an is the city that has the Terracotta Army. In the Qin Dynasty, the Terracotta Army was the figurines that were made out of baked clay.
Yeah.
And the Emperor Wu Di wanted to be buried with his army, and so he made his soldiers be cast.
Yeah, we've seen footage of the thousands of soldiers that were the statues. It's amazing.
Yes. Our tour bus pulls up to a restaurant. We're getting ready for lunch. We look out the window, and there's a small, he looked like he was a victim of thalidomide poisoning, maybe during pregnancy, had the child's torso and flipper-like appendages, and he was on a little sort of like furniture dolly, and he was sitting on the pavement, and he was begging for alms.
Mm-hmm.
And the tour guide, the State Department, Chinese State Department tour guides, would not let us disembark from the bus because they considered that man to be an embarrassment to the nation. They get on the walkie-talkie, they get on the two-way radio, and within 5 minutes, we're sitting in our bus, sweltering in 100% humidity and, close to 100 degrees.
Right. Well, and they're famous for this. Like North Korea, for example, erects the fake skyscrapers that are totally empty and cities that are totally empty that can be seen from South Korea. I mean, the CCP is like the founding political party behind brainwashing and perception. And even in the series Chernobyl, Gorbachev says, our power is the perception of our power. So this is definitely a CCP kind of playbook. You position yourself as perfect, utopian, and powerful. And because of that brainwashing, even though it's a lie and fake and hollow, that perception causes others to treat you as if you're powerful in a disproportionate way. Is that right?
Yes, and good argument that Chernobyl is actually the line of demarcation that brought about the end of the Soviet Union, or sure. at least foreshadowed it.
Sure.
So anyway, we're sitting in the bus, and 5 minutes after the transmission on the radio, a little blue car pulls up, and four PLA get out of it, People's Liberation Army get out of it. They begin beating the man, so it's embarrassing to have somebody with a birth defect begging on the pavement.
Right.
But then they beat the man, and they drive him down the sidewalk, kicking him, rolling him on his little dolly thing, and they roll him into an alley down around the corner of the building. Me and a couple of the other bigger guys on the tour were ready. I mean, we're ready. You want to talk about the international incident. We're ready to...
You wanted to get down there and interfere.
We're ready to throw some hands. And Tim blocked us in the bus, and again, it was the same, you know, sympathetic language and this just...
So Tim kept you from interfering with the beating and potential yeah. murder of a disabled man in China because he didn't want to offend the CCP.
Exactly right.
Oh,
and, you know, maybe
God.
Not maybe not the best idea for, you know, some Nebraska farm boys to think that it was a good time to be getting off and doing something about what we had just seen, you know.
Wow, so he was willing to allow the perpetration of a violation of human rights, a crisis, a violation of this man's rights. He was willing to allow that to continue to happen in the name of protecting a political agenda, which was the relations between China and the United States, even in 1995.
And if anything, and I lost whatever minuscule respect I might have had for him after the Beijing. This happened after the Tiananmen Square confrontation, and you know, this people need to have their eyes wide open about who he is, what he's about, what he was wow. doing in China, and think about you know, whether it was Hillary Server, you know, and the forwarded emails to Shandong Carter Heavy Industries in Shandong, China. These always lead to security breaches, CIA. And intelligence breaches that lead to the scooping up and the compromising and the killing and imprisoning of the freedom fighters inside China.
Yeah, well, I mean, he allowed the so-called freedom fighters in the United States in his own state to totally burn down cities during the Summer of Love, the George Floyd protests.
The snitch hotline in Minnesota
yes.
is straight out of CCP. And it's going to be.
So this guy is not just a woke moron. He is a legit Maoist idealist.
It's my opinion that he is a deep state. He's absolutely deep state to the core, and that he's been put together and groomed as the Manchurian candidate everybody thought Obama was. Tim Walz is in spades and has proven that. And
wow. His Do you remember the first time that you met him, Shad?
I would have been arriving at the Denver airport to catch our flight to San Francisco, and then from San Francisco to Hong Kong.
Yeah. I mean, did you think of him as just kind of a regular nice guy at first until you saw some of these examples?
Wearing round spectacles, you know, about 5'9", yeah. just seemed like a, you know, fairly
kind of harmless, inconsequential,
college,
you know, dorky Harvard kid.
Yeah, college professor, teacher type. And yeah. I, you know, we had, 1995 was a different time.
Yes.
We were able to have political differences, and we certainly did. I was raised a conservative. My parents were John Birchers, and you know, so, anybody who smacks of leftist ideology, there was going to be room for some debate.
Sure.
And we debated strenuously over the course of that trip, but it was almost a daily revelation about how much he adores the communist regime and what it stands for.
Wow. I wonder how he arrived. How do you think he arrived at that philosophy? I mean, obviously, Harvard has become sort of a leftist institution, certainly much more now than back in 1995. But I'm looking at this guy's background, just reading about him on Wikipedia, you know, who knows what's true. It doesn't really add up that he would be such a adamant Marxist based on his background. You'd think of him as maybe a Democrat, but certainly a pro-America, pro-freedom, you know, pro-capitalism, probably pro-union, but pro-capitalism type guy. I know his dad died when he was just kind of coming out of high school. Why is it that you think he just embraced this philosophy, which has proven time and time again to result in the death of millions upon millions of people?
I believe that they've had this hick lib. People have maybe noticed on X and other social media platforms, the embracing of these, you know, guys in cowboy hats who then proceed to spew Marxism and communism all over the place and defend the Demo Communist Party in the United States. I think that that operation, I think that's a psyop, and I think they've had it brewing in the works for a long time. They know what a liability it's been. They know what a liability it's been to have their side be all pink-haired drag queens and green-haired soy boys. They know that that's been a liability. And so it's just, I think they're transitioning to a new part of the plan. And think of how easy it is to defend somebody like Walz. He comes from a Midwestern state and has the look of somebody. He talks about jumper cables and changing his own oil and making a good hot dish for the Lutheran progressive dinner. And yet in his heart of hearts is Mao Zedong. He used to go, another just quick story, he used to go to the nighttime bazaars, the nighttime markets, and you can haggle price.
Yeah.
And he taught us to tell the merchants that we were German instead of American in Mandarin in order to get better prices because, you know, Americans
were willing to pay more than Germans. Yeah.
Yeah, had the most money. But the thing that Tim would buy were the little red books. He would look for the antique versions of the Mao Zedong.
He was collecting the little red book.
He collected them. I watched him buy them by the dozen.
So that's like if I went to Germany in 1995 and I was trying to buy a collector editions of Mein Kampf.
Absolutely true.
Oh my God! How many do you think he got?
I personally watched him buy over a dozen during that trip. They're tough to find in good condition, as with any other rare book. But they printed them up until. I think the early 1980s.
And for my sake and for the sake of the audience, can you just share a little bit about what the Little Red Book is? Many people may not know.
The Little Red Book is the Bible of the Chinese Communist Party.
Right.
And it was Mao Zedong's. It was the encapsulation of Mao Zedong's philosophy. It was that those were the words that they talk about when they say Mao's words bring us joy.
Right.
They're talking about the quotations and the incantations. It was like a daily devotional.
Right. It's like the Tao, only it's Mao. It's the Mao.
very well said.
Yes. Wow. So I know that I want to be conscientious of your time. We only have about 10 minutes left of this program, Chad, but this is such a fascinating call that it warrants speaking to you as much as possible. Are there any other stories that come to mind when you think about your time with Tim Walz in China? And did you ever connect with him after you guys got back?
Well, like I say, 1995 was a different time. We actually had some great times.
Sure.
Remember singing karaoke in some of the big, huge, you know, multi-story cocktail spots in some of the cities,
mm-hmm.
saying, "Hey Jude, hey, I think you're a Beatles fan, if memory serves, Chase." We sang "Hey Jude" in a Chinese bar filled with about 10,000 people, and everybody in the bar knew every single word to "Hey Jude," which was surreal. But it was there's been this opportunity for small incursions of Westernization to get in.
Mm-hmm.
And 1989, you think about the original Tiananmen uprising. The Chinese Party knew, the Communist Party knew that there was this sort of infection of Westernized influence that was impacting the youth, and they were longing for better lives and for something different. And they were ready, you know, as many of them proved, they were ready to die to try to bring about some kind of reform of their. You know, or even overthrow, if that was even possible. They had the dream of freedom, had the dream of living in a free nation, had the dream of liberty, and they were crushed and snuffed out by what happened in Tiananmen Square. And that was turned into a mass, the same way they did during COVID. It was a massive purge opportunity to rid themselves of a sizable portion of the dissident population.
Now, do you remember from some of your conversations and debates with Tim Walz why it is that he'd adopted this philosophy? I mean, did he make a moral argument, or did it seem to you to be disingenuous in that he only wanted to kind of weaponize the philosophy for political gain?
That's a great question. I think that he truly believes that it's communism that has allowed China to rise, sort of the planned economy at the top,
yeah,
and then the oppressive surveillance state. You know, over the population at the bottom.
That's total control, no invisible hand, no freedom, just total centralized control of every aspect of civilization.
Yeah. in every conversation, he credited that with their ability to rise out of a sort of antique agrarian centered culture into the modern China that's now poised to be the superpower of the world.
Oh my God. Well, Shad, this has been a fascinating call. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us. Hopefully we can get you on the Alex Jones Show and back on to talk more about this. Absolutely mind blowing. Let's go next to Daryl in North Carolina. Daryl, what is on your mind this evening, sir?
Dude, are you kidding me? That guy was amazing, man. I want to see him on Jones tomorrow.
Yeah.
That was incredible. My mind is blown, man. That was fuck. I'm sorry. How do you follow that?
I don't know, man, but you got a shot.
All right, brother, here you go. I'm going to give it a shot. I think I got something good for you. Okay, check this out.
All right.
Okay, here we go. Rush Medical Center, DNC. Listen to this. The DNC is in 8 days, okay?
Yeah.
Rush Medical Center, and we think it's in coordination with DHS and FBI. They have been drilling, emergency drills, for a giant explosion at the DNC, whether it's a chemical bomb, a biological, or just a big explosion. They've been drilling not only just this past Thursday, but 17 times in the past since May.
Wow, so maybe that 60,000 pounds of missing ammonium nitrate will show up at the DNC.
Yes, sir. You took the words out of my mouth. That's exactly what I'm thinking. Something's going on. Look into this story, bro. They're doing major drills on the DNC for an explosion.
That is wild, Daryl. Thank you so much for your call and letting us know. Obviously, we'll be covering that on InfoWars at InfoWars.com/show. Dave in Arizona. Dave, what is on your mind?
Yeah, I appreciate it, Chase. I just tagged you. That was an amazing call with Chad on Getter. It's true that Waltz is definitely a Maoist Marxist. I was able to go to the Harris Waltz rally here in Glendale, Arizona on Friday.
Yeah.
It was total deception in a hockey rink that held 19,000 people for the Coyotes a year ago before they bailed and went somewhere else. There were tops 11,000 people. But
so it was like maybe two-thirds full, closer to half full.
Correct. They had black banners all over the sky boxes in the upper area, but they were all drinking the Kool-Aid. Those white suburban cat ladies? Yeah, mostly. But I sat next to a guy that was actually retired military. We talked for about 20 minutes. He was totally disgusted by Waltz and the stolen valor. And if you look at the Getter post I tagged you on, it shows that Waltz used that Master Sergeant rank on his congressional challenge coins. So he not only misspoke, he put it in print. It's very blatant. But Shad was amazing, sharing all these Marxist Maoist ideas. You know the phrase that Kamala uses, that's one of the phrases that they use to pull down the four pillars. So it's disgusting that we've let this go on for years, decades, and generations, but the Marxist Maoists are in the wire. I'm thinking that what they're going to do is they're going to use this narrative all summer, and then they're going to say, hey, you know what, when people went in to vote, they just couldn't pull the lever for the convicted felon, and after Biden resigns before the DNC, they'll say, we wanted to give the first black woman, even though it's a lie, the first black woman a full term to see what she could do, so they couldn't vote for Trump. I predicted that 2 months ago. It's all over all my social media.
Yeah, wow. Absolutely incredible. I think you're absolutely right. Thank you for sharing that insight, though, from your experience at the rally, because we've seen a lot of misinformation regarding the number of people at Trump rallies versus at Kamala Harris rallies. And frankly, I think it's a distraction, because the fact of the matter is tens of millions of people are going to vote for each of these candidates. So they're both going to end up at some point in this election cycle. They're both likely to end up filling auditoriums and event centers and outside rallies and things of that nature. So it's not like it really means that one is winning or not, but the fact that she's only able to fill half of an auditorium or a stadium reminds me of when I saw Rick Santorum speak at Belmont University when he was running for president in 2012. This is when I was a student at Belmont University in Nashville, Tennessee. I remember they siloed off half of the gymnasium where he spoke, and they put the black banners up. And yes, it was filled where people were allowed to sit, but only half of the stadium, the gymnasium, was used for Rick Santorum's speech. And And so we're seeing the same tactics, behaviors from the Kamala Harris campaign. We're seeing very questionable images of Kamala Harris getting off the plane, and you see a crowd outside of the plane, but it's not reflected in the reflection from the plane itself, that there's actually a crowd there at all. And then the Krasinskis are coming out and trying to debunk it, but kind of failing to do so because their arguments aren't really succinct or coherent as to why that's misinformation. So very questionable things. We know that the left is the party of deception. We know that they're the party of cult of personality and Maoist tactics. Now they're literally using Chairman Mao's Red Book tactics in order to manipulate and brainwash the masses of people into Marxist thought so they can establish total power here in the United States, sell it out to a global conglomeration of power, and then subjugate and manage every aspect of our society from a central position, starting with things like central bank digital currencies and other hyper-surveillance tactics and hotlines and militarizing the voters and the civilians and weaponizing them so they can rat on each other and call the police or authorities on each other. This is communist takeover stuff that we are witnessing. And anybody who admires or avows or espouses or supports or just lushes after communism, after the tens of millions of people that have died as a result of it, whether it was in the prison camps in Russia under Stalin, whether it was the 50 to 60 million people who died of starvation between 1958 and 1962 during the Great Leap Forward, or countless other examples. Anybody who supports or takes serious interest in arguments for Marxism or communism is either completely ignorant or completely morally compromised. We're talking about either idiots or sociopaths. And now we have a situation in which the future vice president of the United States is somebody who is idealistically a Maoist, somebody who supports and believes in communism and Maoism, despite the fact that it's resulted in humanitarian crises after crises, some of which he has allegedly now witnessed based on this whistleblower who called in, Shad from North Dakota, who called in and said that Tim Walz got in the way of fellow students in Harvard who were trying to interfere with three members of the People's Liberation Army beating the hell out of a disabled beggar. Tim Walz wanted to allow this to happen in China in 1995 when he was there and stopped his fellow students from Harvard from interfering when they were ready to go down there and actually save that poor man's life, who might have died in that alley for all we know, because he wanted to maintain friendly relations between the CCP and the United States of America back in 1995. This is not a neutralized, sort of safe, nonviolent political philosophy. We are now escalating into a time where our opponents don't simply disagree with us about tax rates and a policy here or there. Our opponents are actually willing, able, and wanting to commit massive genocide, not only on the American people, but on all the people of the world in the name of subjugating humanity under one centralized new world government. Please visit InfoWarsStore.com right now, because this is the only place where you're going to get whistleblowers like that on the fly. And support Alex Jones. Follow Alex Jones at Real Alex Jones, and stick with us, folks. More this week.
I hate to use this analogy, but truth is the way to go, so I'll just use it. I remember growing up with all four of my grandparents. And first my dad's dad died, and then his mother died, and then my mother's father died, and my mother's mother died. And they were all amazing, and you think they're always going to be there. But one day they're dead. Well, it's the same thing with InfoWars. We've barely survived in the last few years, like right up to millimeters. And people then go, well, you're still on air. You must be invincible. We were shot up. The operation's bleeding to death. And that's okay. We've done our mission, and we're going to continue on even if this operation shut down. But that said, I don't want to prove to you by not going 100% and us shutting down that I wasn't BSing about this. We are very, very, very close to being shut down. And literally, the final products we have in come in at InfoWarsStore.com could be the last time you get them. Now, there's a lot of stuff that goes into this, a lot of strategy. There's a good chance, 50-50, we can stay on air. But if we don't get funding, we will shut down. I need you to go to InfoWarsStore.com and get amazing products. Now, these three have been bestsellers, and these are the last runs of them unless we get a deal done in the next few months. So we have Vitamin Mineral Fusion. We have the Vitamin C with Zinc and the Rose Hips that's so incredible. And we have Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, all discounted. But this could easily be the final run. So I need your support, plus they're great products. Get it today. at InfoWarsStore.com. And while you're there, get a book, get a film, get a t-shirt, whatever you do, share the article, share the videos, and pray for the broadcast. You've kept us on air this long, and I'm very thankful to all of you. But we are now at go moment here with this election, everything going on. We need your support now. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com right now and support us in this critical time.